Would you give free Bible lessons? The reason I ask that question, usually I'll call upon the pastor for that. The pastor's not here this morning. There was a young man in college in the country of Peru. And you know, there he was given a little book like this. Now, we call it a New Testament or a little Bible. In many of the other countries, they call it the book that tells about Jesus. So this person named Gilly, who was the engineering program, gets this little Bible handed out by the Gideons, and through reading it, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Then he took a job as a mining engineer there in Peru, and he didn't know of one other Christian. He thought, I'd like to study the Bible with someone. So he puts a sign above his door, gives free Bible lessons. Well, nobody came. Then one day it was a pouring down rainstorm, and he saw water seeping in from the ceiling. Soon the floor was covered with water. He caught himself opening up the door and bailing out the water by the bucketful. While he was doing that, an old shaggy-looking dog came in and picked up this little book that tells about Jesus. Went out the door, holding it in his teeth, down the road, and Gilly thought, I need my little Bible. He goes running after the dog. Of all places that dog to go to, goes into a noted witch doctor's house. He thought, I can't go in there, I'll be cursed. He turned around and went home. Of course, he didn't have his little Bible. But you know, about a month later, a knock comes to the door. Do you still give free Bible lessons? And I don't know what he would have done if it wouldn't have been the witch doctor, but here was a witch doctor. He said, the strangest thing happened. Here the other week, a pouring down rainstorm, an old ugly dog came into my house, dropped off this little book I've been reading about Jesus. Can you tell me more about Jesus? That day, the witch doctor accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you know, over a period of weeks, he had had some of the other family members come back. Some of them accepted Jesus. Then one day, his niece came over, the witch doctor's niece. She accepted Jesus as her Savior. And today, that witch doctor's niece and the mining engineer are husband and wife, and he's serving as a pastor there in Peru, winning many to the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, you've some Gideons in the group. You have Gideon speakers here on a fairly regular basis, and there's given areas where the Gideons hand out copies of God's word. One of them isn't to give it to a dog, but Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word does not return to him void or empty. So you people are an integral part of this ministry. I'd like to tell you that the Gideons are your ministry, but really it's the Lord's ministry, using churches like yours, individuals that are willing to go out and be part of the Gideons, and together that we can accomplish what we do. So I count it a privilege to be here to share with you for a few minutes this morning about this exciting ministry, and I don't want to embellish the work of the Gideons. I want to embellish the power of God and the Lord Jesus and how he's used this ministry and how people have changed lives as a result. You know, there was a Gideon speaker sharing. Well, no, before I get to that, let me back up a little. I guess being here at talking about the fact that we hand out the Bibles and so forth, we should refer to it a little bit. And sometimes I read Psalms 119. Will you want me to read Psalms 119 to you this morning? In case you don't know, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. Like 176 verses, I think it is. Do you know what the shortest chapter is in the Bible? I thought, usually out here, Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse. The shortest chapter, I think, is Psalms 117. And then, do you know what the middle verse is in the Bible? And I didn't know this till several years ago, but the center verse in the Bible, now, of course, that could vary with the different languages, or different versions, I should state, but Psalms 118, either verse 8 or 9, it's better to put your trust in God rather than man. Isn't that a good center verse to have for the middle verse in the Bible? But I would like to give you a verse, and you don't have to refer to it, but it's become my life verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I have this memorized in the King James. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we have to be here for a few precious moments here at the Hope Church, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Lord, we in ourselves are incapable to be behind the sacred desk. We want your help. Give us the testimonies. Give us the words that you want us to share. And if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know the Jesus of this book that the witch doctor didn't know about, we just pray that they'd check with one of the leaders, talk to one of the leaders here at the end, because we'd like that they could know more about this Jesus so they could make heaven their home. And Lord, for those of us that know you as our Lord and Savior, we just pray that we'd be encouraged to do as much as we can for you. And Lord, help us to realize that we're working for you, just as 1 Corinthians 15:58 states, that our work is not in vain. Just have your hand upon us throughout this service. Your name we pray. Amen. You know, when a Gideon comes, they'll typically share how this is your missionary. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year for about a 6-year period. This is in a motel room. We figure it has the potential to reach about 2,300 people in that period of time. And you want to pray for us. It's an issue as far as the motels right now. You have some motel owners that are calling us and asking to get the Bibles in. You have others that are taking them out due to the pandemic situation and so forth. And I don't know how it is here in this area, but I live in a little town, Mount Pleasant Mills. How many of you know where Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania is? Great. When I was in Calcutta, India, someone knew where Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania was. It's a shame in the rest of you if you don't know where Mount Pleasant Mills is. No, it's about an hour's drive north of here. If you ever heard of Stones Grove, Sunbury, Lewisburg, we're right in that section, Richfield and Middleburg and Freeburg or some of the little neighboring towns. So what amazed me there in our area, you don't see magazines anymore in the dentist waiting rooms, physician offices, but the one thing that is still there is the Holy Bible placed by the Gideons. And understand it's that way at Geisinger Medical Center at Danville too. So, and I'm assuming it's somewhat that way here. And I'm not sure if it's because the doctors bring a lot of magazines in from home and so forth and place them there and figure, well, that was placed for the Gideons, they'll leave it there if they really realize the value of it. But anyhow, I'm praising the Lord that that is there in many of the offices. That's the one book that has remained. So in addition to having this in the motels, we have cruise ships, airlines. I already mentioned our wives are an important part of the ministry. They place it in the dentist and physician offices and attorney offices. And then we have a large print. I'm sure some of you saw in visiting people in convalescent homes and hospitals. It's a large print. It's the New Testament and Psalms. And then what we hand out in other countries, in fact, this is one from Albania. If you see me reading from this one, I'm faking it because I don't know the Albanian language. But I don't think the cover is quite as well as what we have here. And we can place a small testament in the hands of someone in another country for $1.20. It costs us $5 to place the motel Bibles. So in a small testament like this, we give that to those people working in the hospitals, to those being inducted in the military, to school children, 5th grade through 12th grade, to college students, to EMTs, firefighters, policemen. That's where we make the small testaments available. I'd ask you how many we're handing out. I don't know what your response would be. Sometimes someone says a lot. I can't disagree with that. But every 5.5 days, about 1 million copies are going out. Even if the dog gets his teeth in a copy, it can change a life. So we have those Bibles going out. And that's typically what a Gideon speaker shares. And this is what happened out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then the Gideon speaker was confronted by a Gideon that came up from the back of the church. He said, you didn't mention anything about the prison ministry. And I should have stated that when we take this out of the motels after it's been there for about 6 years, we don't throw it away or burn it, but we give it a life sentence. We place it in prison. We give it to an inmate. And Bill Emmerich was the Gideon that came up from the back out there in Indiana and talking to the speaker. He said, I want to tell you my experience. He said, I used to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana prison every Saturday morning for 25 years. And he said this one week, Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, the sheriff called. He wanted to know if he could be present there and have his picture taken when Bill was handing out these recycled Bibles to the inmates. Now, the Gideons take a low-key approach when it comes to publicity. He really shouldn't have talked about having his picture in the paper and so forth in connection with it. But it didn't happen anyhow. But anyhow, Bill goes to the prison that morning, and he's handing out these recycled motel Bibles. And I did want to make one point as far as publicity, and we'll get back to that situation. I left Mount Pleasant Mills this morning, came in a Route 104, then a Route 11 and 15, then a little bit of 81 North, and arrived here after an hour or so. I didn't see a one sign that said become a Gideon, only cost $60, good investment. Where the Gideons hand out a million copies of God's word in less than a week's time. I didn't see a one sign like that. We share what we're doing by coming to churches such as I am this morning to gain your prayer and financial support. But Bill Emrick did what he did. He hands out these recycled motel Bibles that morning at the prison, and he takes the section at the front, it's help in time of need, some key verses. If death occurred or if depression and so forth, key verses for you to read. So he shared some of that, and then the Gospel of John. And you give basically a gospel message when you go to a prison that way. So he spoke for about an hour. 9 o'clock gives an invitation. Not a one person come forward, so he's going to go home. Sheriff said, no, speak a little longer, photographer will be coming. So again, the help in time of need section and the Gospel of John. He speaks till about 10 o'clock. Opportunity to respond. Nobody responded. Again, he's going to go home. The sheriff said, no, speak a little longer, photographer will be coming. Now keep in mind, he had a captive audience. They couldn't walk out in him. You can walk out in me if I speak too long this morning. So he speaks for the third hour. Help in time of need section and the Gospel of John. 11 o'clock. Opportunity to respond. Now the person came forward, and he's basically out the door, and the sheriff persuades him again, please speak a little longer, it's still morning, surely a photographer will be coming, he's a good friend. So Bill spoke for that fourth hour, help in time of need section, and the Gospel of John. Not a one person came forward. Bill went home and told his wife, I just wasted my entire morning at the Fort Wayne prison. Now, did he waste his entire morning? Do you think he was discouraged? No, we know he didn't waste his entire morning. I'm sure he knew deep down within, but he was discouraged that morning. And you know, maybe you're involved with prison ministry. I can tell you if you are, some people will make fun of you. They'll say, oh, that's jailhouse religion. You can't rely upon that and so forth. Some of the best services I was ever in was up in the Allenwood prison complex, Lewisburg, Milton, Williamsport area. Never forget being up there on Palm Sunday the one time, and those inmates shared with others at the church service they had in Palm Sunday how they did have a captive audience, and they did that week. They could tell people about Jesus, what happened in the cross and so forth. Maybe you're involved in a convalescent home ministry. If you were this past year and a half or so, it was really limited. But if you are, you see the heads nodding and so forth, you wonder, am I really doing any good? Maybe you're involved in street ministry. If you are, some people will make fun of you. You won't always see the results you'd like to see. Maybe you're teaching young people, vacation Bible school, or Sunday school classes here. Children don't behave as you'd like, and you think, boy, am I really accomplishing anything? Am I doing any good? Some of you ladies probably take care of those people close by that maybe can't get around as well as what you do. You drop off a pie, a cake, cookies. You send them a card. You call them, tell them you're praying for them. But you don't seem to get very much response. You wonder, do they really appreciate it? You're inviting someone to church. They tell you they'll come. They don't. Next Sunday, oh, we'll come. They don't. You're praying for someone. We know what it says in James about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, but yet in our prayers, sometimes we expect more immediate results than what the Lord has in mind. We don't like the word wait. So we can get discouraged. And Bill Emrick was discouraged that morning. But 16 years later, he's downtown Cleveland, Ohio, handing out gospel tracts in a street corner. And this one person comes down the street. He says, are you a Gideon? He must have seen this emblem. And Bill says, yes, I am. Why do you ask? And the person was Len Schellenbacher. Len said, well, you see, sheepishly hanging his head, the Gideons have something to do with my salvation. You see, I couldn't tell you who he was, but I was in prison in Fort Wayne, Indiana, And he said there was a Gideon there that one day, and he spoke for 4 solid hours. I'm sure Bill Emmerich started paying attention. And then Schellenbacher said, when he left, he said, I went back to my cell. And he said, those verses at the front, that was just what I needed. And he said, I prayed, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And he said, when I was released from prison, I led my wife to the Lord. A son, a daughter, a brother, and a sister, plus Len himself. So Bill Emery found out 16 years after he told his wife he wasted his entire morning, that he impacted 6 lives that morning. And he never told his wife again that he was wasting his time when he was working for the Lord. Now, I'm known as an encourager somewhat among the Gideons. And you people are involved in ministry. And it doesn't always go the way you'd like. The important thing is that you're faithful. Like, I felt pretty well received here this morning, talking to some people and so forth. I can remember coming back from Erie the one time. I was coming down Interstate 79 before I got to 80. And I was discouraged. Hardly anybody talked to me. Just didn't seem to be that warm feeling. And then I thought of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I also thought about Bill Emmerich, what happened to him. So if you forget everything else that Bob Apple says this morning, remember 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Bill Emmerich. When you get discouraged, think of the fact that you may not know till you get to heaven the lives you've impacted. It was nice when I was in Nigeria to see people accepting Christ right there in the spot. You know, they thought if they weren't born a Muslim, they were automatically a Christian. Then to share with them, we got to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Brady, living unto you, first of all, that shall also receive how that Christ died for our sins, for in the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And they'd say, no, I wasn't born a Christian. They'd say, no, I know you weren't, but I want you to see that for yourself. But when you're working for the Lord, your work is not in vain. Let me move on to the Democratic. No, let's go to Albania first. Any of you ever in Albania? I must admit, I knew next to nothing about Albania when I was asked to go there. Now, what was different in Albania, and a person who was a missionary there several years before, someone made a point for him to talk to me, and they warned me about this, but it didn't sink in. There, when you nodded your head this way, it was no. When you shook your head this way, it was yes. And believe me, when you don't know the language, you'd be surprised how much you depend upon head nodding. And I thought we were getting nowheres, and all of a sudden the doors would open up, we'd be going in. I almost got stranded outside the one police station. They forgot I didn't know their language. But there in Albania, we went to the seaport city of Durrës one day, which was called Iconium or something like that in the scriptures. It was in Paul's third missionary journey. There in the seaport city of Durrës, we persuaded Muslim motel owners to accept a copy of God's word. They said it wasn't in the Albanian language. Nobody lives in Albania could afford to stay in a motel. I'm sure there must have been some exceptions. It was trilingual, an English, French, and Italian, as I recall, that we placed there. And incidentally, if any of you are considering becoming part of the Gideon ministry and you think it would make you rich here in this life, forget about it. It doesn't quite work that way. We went to Albania. There were 7 of us, 5 from the United States, 1 from Northern Ireland, 1 from Sweden. And the first night we were there, now we paid for our air travel and going to pay for our lodging, and food and rooms, so forth. And then they asked if we'd pay for the salaries of the local Gideons that were taking off work. You'd think maybe they'd offer us something coming to help them. But then we found out they made $5 to $7 a day. So we paid for their salaries. Then they asked if we wanted to have a pastor's appreciation banquet Friday night, which is customary in a trip like that. Well, sure. Well, then it's up to you 7 to take care of it. And that didn't cost $15, $20, $25 a plate like I might here. But don't think you'd like to be a Gideon that might make you rich here in this life. It just doesn't work that way. But over there in Albania, and Albania's about the size of the state of Maryland, and they broke away from the USSR about 2 years before you had the major Yugoslavia breakup after you developed Croatia and all those other countries there. I wish I was part of this distribution. I wasn't. About 6 weeks after we left, They said it was one church, about an hour's drive north of Tirana, the capital, where we spend most of our time. One church where the Bible was being preached. There were enough men and women interested in the Gideon ministry in that church that they formed a local group of Gideons. Now, here in Pennsylvania, we have 122 groups. Over there, they had seven at that time. And what was really different about it, if I come and visit, this is part of what we call the Dolphin Central group here. If I come down here, practically everybody comes in a car. Over there, nobody came in a car. I know for a fact in five of the seven groups, not one of the Gideons had an automobile. They couldn't afford it. But yet, they get Bibles here. That church I told you about, they had Bibles over there. Someone gave $1.20 when a Gideon speaker was here. That provided one. Someone gave $120. That provided 100. As a result of church offerings, they had Bibles. So that church there took up an offering to pay for the bus fare to send out Gideons to go to the school to hand out these scriptures. They come to the one school, and the one girl said, I'm a visitor. May I still have a copy? They told her she could. She took that copy. She read it. She read it. She read it. She comes to the back. And you know, it's neat. Even though I can't read the Albanian language, we pulled out John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, and some key verses. I could read them in English. They could follow after in the Albanian language. But so this young lady signs at the back that she's accepted Jesus as her Savior. Now, what should we do when we accept Christ? Be quiet about it or tell others? Tell others, right? Who was she going to tell? So she's in her home school, and she told four of her good friends what she had done. And they said, well, give us a copy. Give us one. Give us one. No, she couldn't. She only had the one copy. But then, after much pleading, she takes the book of Matthew, tears it out, gives it to this one, book of Mark, book of Luke, book of John, said, you take it and read it. And in 2 weeks, she changed. You know what happened after 2 months here? Four other young ladies accepted Jesus as their Savior. $1.20 changed five lives. Amazing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God, make a child of God. $1.20 changing five lives, that's a pretty good investment. Now let's say the next year, there's a Gideon speaker here, and they talk about the cards that are out here. And I thought maybe there'd be a few more on the display there than what there are. And I'm guessing if you're a typical church, there are some people that have been attending here for several years, and you have no idea there's a card display out there that has some cards that say, like, thinking of you, and in recognition, and in memory. If I were speaking here about 10 years ago, I wouldn't be sharing this now. But I was speaking very close to home, and the pastor told me, he said, Bob, what you want to do, you want to cut out one of your testimonies, and you want to tell what you shared here in the foyer area with the people up front so that they understand what those cards are about. Now, your card display here is just behind the Welcome Center, I guess it's called, just behind there on the right-hand side. And my wife and I went to Gideon meetings for probably 2-3 years. Well, it would have been 2 years, and starting in 1988, and 1990, in the summer, there was a get-together for an aunt of mine who taught Sunday school faithfully at the Exeter Bible Church just outside of Reading. Some of you like Jonestown people, maybe you're getting close enough, they know where that is, but anyhow, there was a get-together for my Aunt Sadie. What are we going to get for Aunt Sadie? We used one of these cards for the first time in recognition. And this does not say $2.99 or $5.99 at the back. The card is free. They tell me I can't use that word free in Philadelphia, but it is free when you pick it up now. But when you use it, we want you to give for one or more motel Bibles. It's $5 to place a Bible in a motel. And so I made a little comment here in recognition of Sadie Harold. Made it for five recognition Bibles, Bob and Gloria Apple or Mount Pleasant Mills address. And I don't know how it is in your households, but there's a place here along the side to write some notes. If I write, it doesn't go over too well. So in our household, the lady used the cards because they can read her writing. They can't mine. And secondly, the thoughts are many times better. So Gloria writes a nice little note here. And we take this card that's in here, and ours said Silmsgrove, Pennsylvania. I have a feeling this one here will say Harrisburg. Lingolstown, Pennsylvania. So evidently they're the post office box in Lingolstown for this Dolphin Central Group of Gideons. So we send a check of $25 in this envelope off to our Sillings Grove address. We go to get together where Aunt Sadie is, and she was reading the gifts she got from the different people. And we knew where they were moving to the convalescent home within the next few weeks, but we gave her 5 Bibles for her teaching Sunday school class faithfully for many years. And she reads what these cards are about that she got. She comes to our card. She became emotional. She couldn't finish reading it. When program was over, she comes back to her. She said, "Bob and Gloria, how could you think of getting me such a nice gift?" She said, "We got all these doodads and whatnots, but we don't need anything. We have to get rid of things. But you gave money for Bibles. That means so much to me." So Gloria and I said, going home, we have to use the program more often. We stopped to see Aunt Sadie and Uncle John 4 to 6 weeks later there at Quarryville Convalescent Home. Within 5 minutes, Aunt Sadie's thanking us again for the fact that we gave money for Bibles. It meant so much to her. Now we talk about we have to use the program more often. So if you know where Mount Pleasant Mills is, you know where Middleburg is. And I worked at Middleburg, lived in Mount Pleasant Mills. And in November of 1990, they had all seasonals. I didn't have them yet. And I didn't switch from summer tread to winter tread soon enough. And there's nearly snow. I got stuck in the mountain. So probably some people were happy I was stuck. But one young man came by and said, "Bob, do you need help?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "Jump in, I'll pull you out." He pulled me out. I reached my pocket to give him $10 or $20. He wouldn't take anything. I said to my wife, I said, "I'm going to use one of those Gideon cards again." So I made it in recognition of pulling me out of the ditch. November, whatever the date was, 1990. I made it for 3 Bibles. And no note along the side. I didn't have to pay for the card. Gloria wasn't involved at all. Send this off. Send my check of $15 off to the Gideons. Several weeks later, a young man stops at the office. He said, "Bob, I told you I wouldn't take anything, but you gave money for Bibles." He was raised in a good Christian home. But at that time, he and his wife and 2 teenager youngsters were not living for the Lord as they should have been. I was really able to witness to him at that time. And again, I tell Gloria when I get home, we have to use that program more often. Well, you know, since that time, my wife and I don't purchase many cards. We do some. But some of you wouldn't like to admit it, but you're getting to be close to my age. You get invited to 40th and 50th and 60th wedding anniversaries. If the people need something, you don't know what it is. We just automatically go and give one of these cards replacing so many Bibles in connection with that anniversary. At birthdays, graduations. In fact, my wife and I even use the recognition card when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day. Now, you men, you may not want to try it. Maybe your wife really likes those roses, but we know when those cards are underneath, it's underneath my pillow the night before Father's Day the next day, and it's going to be for 5 or 10 Bibles. And 3, you know, I'm so thankful, and I thank my wife, but most of all, someone's getting copies of the Bible that maybe wouldn't have one otherwise. And the thinking, you have a number of people probably affected with COVID down here. You can send one of the thinking of you cards out to them. And as people move on, I just saw a person I thought they made a mistake. It was an in recognition card for someone had passed away, and here it was mentioned graduating to heaven, that they graduated from his life and they moved on to heaven. I thought they wanted to send that they just got fouled up on it, but it was an in honor card in connection with that. So I know when my mother passed away about 5 years ago now, never forget the night before she died, she squeezed my hand. She was in the hospital bed. She said, "Make sure you tell the people to give for Bibles in connection with my life." I can't talk to her about it, but money was gave to provide for more than 600. Motel Bibles as a result of the life that was given. I'm sure she knows about it up there in heaven. But so I would encourage you ladies and take one of those cards going out. You'll use it much quicker if you have it at home. And if you'd like a card and it's not there or so, is the secretary here this morning? Okay, well, anyhow, she was very helpful to me. Leave her know that you need some cards and we'll see that we get some in here because there should be a few more cards here. I think you'll realize the value of these cards going out. Now, because of people using these cards, they get Bibles over there in Albany again. And that local church, they pay for the bus fare to send these Gideons out a little bit further. Here they come to the school, those 5 girls were part of. And the one of the girls sees a Gideon carrying these little blue books, comes running out, said, "You mean I'll get my own copy? You mean each of my friends will get a copy?" That Gideon couldn't afford a car. was very poor, but because of you people using the card program could tell that girl, yes, you'll get your own copy. Yes, each of your friends will get a copy. You see how a church like yours is impacting lives? We're actually in 200 countries, possessions, territories. Bibles printed in something like 107 or 108 different languages. And at the rate of, I already told you, a million copies every 5.5 days, these going out. And probably of these countries you're into, about 25% of them, you can't send a live missionary to. Now, there's people there that are doing mission work under the pretense of agriculture or education or health services, but to send someone that's stating they're going to be there a missionary, you would not be able to. And those are, but we have nationals, people from that country that become Gideons, and then we get God's word to them. So those national Gideons become our missionaries in those countries. So when you use the card program, you're impacting lives around the world. Then we take a Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly known as Zaire. And I was speaking in Philadelphia here several months ago. A person came up to me, lived in Zaire. He said, do you know what it was before Zaire? And I forget what it was anymore. But I'm saying Kinshasa, the capital, and something like that. But this pastor there, the name of Galisi, was asked if the Gideons could come and share in his church. And he laughed at the Gideon. And the Gideon said, I don't understand. Why are you laughing at me? Well, the pastor said, you don't understand. He said, I'm a product of your ministry. He said, I was the medical doctor for the football team. Now, that part of the world, he was the athletic trainer for the soccer team. And they went from Democratic Republic of Congo over to Madagascar, the Allen country. And he said, when we were there in Madagascar, he said, when the team wasn't scrimmaging or playing games, he said, I was reading this book. He said, it's the first time I ever saw it. And he said, when we left Madagascar, I stole your Bible. Now, I don't agree with stealing anything, but if you have to steal something, this is the best thing to steal. God is a way of working in life, you stole them Bibles. Now, he was not a pastor there. I'm not accusing pastors of stealing. Let's get that straight. But he took that back to Kinshasa, and through reading it, he accepts Jesus as a Savior. And then he's called into the ministry. He said, now I'm pastoring this church, and I think it's around 800 to 1,000 people. And he said, you ask if a Gideon can come and share? He said, of course a Gideon can come and share. And you're going to ask if we'll take an offering. Yes, we're going to have a plate at the back, very similar to what you have here this morning. And he said, keep in mind, the offering will be very small because my people are very poor. But he said, it only took one Bible to change my life. And he said, through that, the Lord has used me to impact many lives here. So he said, I want my people to have the opportunity to change lives also. You will have the opportunity in service here. You know, I shared that testimony in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. A person named John comes up to me. He said, Bob, let me tell you about my experience in Madagascar. He said, he's a Gideon now, but he wasn't at that time when he talked to me. He said, I always depend upon the Gideons to have a Bible in the motel room. And he said, sometimes I don't have my own Bible with me. And he said, I just depend upon the Gideons to have a Bible there. And he said, they're in Madagascar. He said, the Bible was laying open. And he said, I went to pick it up, to take it to my bed, to have devotions, and I couldn't lift it. And then he checked. Here was a spike in the front cover and a spike in the back cover. He went down to the front desk and inquired. They said, we get tired of people taking that book. We just spiked them all down. So not everybody steals our Bibles. But, you know, you can witness in connection with that. I could tell you about stopping at a motel in Erie, Pennsylvania. And here, I imagine as Christian people, you probably check when you go to a motel to see if it's a Bible there. I know as Gideons, I always do, and I think I did before as a Gideon too. But here it was a dollar bill sticking out. I said to Gloria, well, this is different. And then I looked. Then it was a note there. The note said, if you need this dollar, take it, but you probably need Jesus more. And they told you what verses to read to accept Christ as your Savior. Now, an independent study showed that 24% of the people who stop in a motel read at least one verse of the Bible. I think if it'd be a dollar bill with a note like that, probably more than 24% would read it. But you can leave it open to a given spot. You know, maybe the person coming in and the person that does the cleaning or so will read it quicker if it's laying open there. But at least do this favor for us. You're in a motel and there's a Bible there. Thank them at the front desk that there's a Bible there. And if it's not one there, tell them you were really disappointed that there wasn't a Bible in the room. Don't be too critical. Maybe someone stole it the night before. But it's a good chance that they said no to the Gideons when they came around. So help us out there. Leave them know that you appreciate that the Bible is there. You know, there are so many situations could share how the Lord is impacted here in the Harrisburg area. You know, the Gideons get in the motels. We try to get to the schools and so forth and handing out scriptures. And I guess I'm going to take you to another country again. Burkina Faso, that's an African country. And I don't know where they got my bio information to read to you here. I had no idea that was coming up. I usually try to keep quiet that I was a school administrator and so forth. And sometimes people want to disappear because they never had a good relationship with the principal. But nobody walked out on me here yet. But there, Burkina Faso, we had a situation about 12 years ago, an international convention. And I like to host these people from other countries and find out. It's not the same as being there, but it's close to being there. And find out just what the ministry's like and so forth. And this young man, Matthew or Sir Matthias, I get it confused, but I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get down for the hosting, and if someone has to be hosted, I signed up for every time, and then I gave the people away to some other couple that hadn't hosted at all, and I said, if they need someone, I'll be there, and then the person from Gideon's headquarters said, Bob, do you have anyone? No, I said, I was just waiting for you. He said, I want you to take this person. He's from Burkina Faso, and we had breakfast together. And my hearing and my Snyder County Dutch English doesn't agree sometimes too well with these people in other countries, but we managed to understand. And here he was a school administrator. He started a school there in Burkina Faso. And he said about a month after he started the school, he heard about the Gideons. He was a Christian person, and Burkina Faso is like 95% Muslim, though. But he became a Gideon. And the school got a good reputation for good discipline and good academics. And this was the textbook. Now, what happens if a Muslim child reads this book that tells about Jesus? The same thing can happen as what happens to a young person or an older person here in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. And what happens if a Muslim child accepts Christ and they go home and tell their parents? So he was telling me about the situation. He said, the first child that accepted Jesus, parents came in. He said, they wanted to tear me apart. And he said, I spend hours with them, talking to them about the Bible. And he said, they both accepted Jesus as their Savior. Then he did a very intelligent thing. He hired the wife to be a receptionist and secretary at the school. So the next Muslim family gets upset when their child accepted Jesus. They come in. Who do they see? This lady. I was just like you, and this is what I did. And he mentioned the number of parents that accepted Jesus. So when we parted, he wanted to know how he could pray for the Gideons in Pennsylvania, and I mentioned some things. I said, what about praying for you in Burkina Faso? Just pray that they continually get to my receptionist before they get to me. And so we emailed back and forth. And then, you know, after 2-3 years, it goes by the wayside. And then, I'd say about 6 years later, at one of the international conventions at lunchtime on a Saturday, which wasn't that natural hosting time, I get a tap on the shoulder. I turn around, here is Matthias. He said, Brother Apple, can we have lunch together? He wanted me to buy him lunch for one thing. But another thing, he wanted to tell me about what was happening. Instead of one school of 700, he now had 3 schools of 900. And this wasn't the only textbook, but it was one of 4, as I recall. And young people accepting Christ, $1.20, changing a life. Why am I here this morning? To thank you for having the Gideons on an annual basis. You could have a sign out front that you're supporting missionaries in 200 countries. Having us here on an annual basis and praying for us, that's what you're doing. Secondly, any of you people that would like to become involved with the ministry, check with me after the service. I'll try to be at the back and be glad to send some information to some of you. There's a program we call Friends of the Gideons. I have some of these brochures here. And I'm sure many of you have smartphones. I don't know how many of you picked up the bulletin inserts when you came in, but there's inserts out there. And there's a place in the back, what they call a QR code. And you can... go automatically make a donation. I was speaking downtown Harrisburg here some time ago. A young person comes up to me and said, I just made a donation for the Gideons. And, well, he didn't learn how to use it, do it from me. I have a smartphone, but my intelligence doesn't work too well with it. And I can't use some of those features, but some of you probably do and use it real well. But there is an envelope there, and I take that approach. If you aren't prepared to give this morning, you could take that envelope home and send that into the address that's there. And I can tell you what's given goes entirely for the purchase and placement of scriptures. I'm not pleading poverty by any means, but I don't receive a penny for coming down here and sharing with you this morning. Now, we do have about 130 Gideons that are paid. They work at our international headquarters. And membership dues, $60 from the man, $30 from the lady, takes care of their salaries, takes care of printing and mailing costs to me, and takes care of getting people from some of these poor countries to our international convention are sharing with you about, like a person from Burkina Faso. So I can honestly tell you, when you use these cards, when you give them the church offering, what you give goes entirely for the purchase and placement of scriptures. It was a pleasure for me to be here, and I can't impress upon you too much the importance of praying for this ministry. Every ministry is having challenges right now with the COVID deal. And believe me, we are with the Gideons too. We need your prayers. I'd like to leave you with a verse. I have a feeling some of the ministries that you're involved, I'm guessing if we go around the church here, we'd find that probably a third to half of you are involved in a ministry that is being challenged right now with everything that has happened the last year and a half. Apply 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's been a help to me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I may have switched the phrase around there. Sorry about that. Let's have a brief prayer. Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we had to share with these people today. And Lord, as we mentioned earlier, if there's one here that doesn't know the Jesus of this book that the witch doctor didn't know about, we just pray that they'd check with one of the leaders at the end of the service. And Lord, we just pray that there be some people here that are interested in getting involved and using the card program, becoming involved with this ministry. Our only purpose is to reach others, men and women, boys and girls, for the Lord. Just have your guiding hand upon us. Be with us then as we conclude the service here and go to our separate homes. Your name we pray. Amen.